Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, hey, hello. All the leavers and believers and special guests, the unsaved of Leaving Hillsong who are not yet converted, welcome back to this conversation. We hope to bring you to the altar call of critical thinking after this chat. I am so excited about this conversation. It's come after a long time and a lot of interaction. So to give you a little bit of context, I was born in South Africa and we didn't get TV till I was 5 years old. And then not long after that, we moved to Australia and started watching Days of Our Lives when I was six. There was so much more TV and went on to spend 3 years in the United States in the early 80s and watched a lot of TV there and consumed a lot of pop culture. Throughout the 80s, as we did, I read all the magazines and, yeah, apart from a brief period of abstinence from the devil's music, it's just been something I love. And on reflection, I think it's because in some ways, not having family in this country, there's no one to gossip about on a daily basis. So I wonder if that's part of the reason why Australians were always the number one buyers of women's magazines and celebrity magazines in the world. But the other thing as well is being a part of a Pentecostal church or this kind of Hillsong brand church doesn't really help the celebrity obsession. Whether it's a celebrity directly like the Justin Bieber phenomenon at Hillsong or just that celebrity pastor style that's encouraged, like what happened with Carl Lentz. It's a very celeb-focused environment, and I have a brain for all kinds of useless trivia. The Word of Faith movement has also just turned the Bible into a bunch of stories that these pastors like to apply at will to their lives with kind of superhero characters that you can follow along. So I really don't know anymore the difference between, you know, Moses and Aquaman and Jason Momoa anymore. So for anyone who wondered why I randomly brought up the Johnny Depp trial, Houston's herds is all just, it's all just people desperately competing for attention, isn't it? And I think we also have to hold Jeff Bullitt quite responsible for making those really catchy tunes back in the day that sunk in so deep, like you hear every week on this show. So you can imagine my excitement when I got an email that said, "Hi, my name's Rich McHugh and I worked with Ronan Farrow on the Harvey Weinstein case." And I knew exactly that story there. And Rich had taken an interest in Hillsong and he wanted to have a chat. And what I only put that poor man through, you know, he'd say like, "Okay, Tanya, what's this about this Royal Commission?" And I was like, "Does Ronan Farrow really look like that close up?" But then extremely patient, and because of the nature of this topic and Rich's tenacity, we've become quite firm colleagues. But before he was a supervising producer in the NBC News investigative unit, Rich had over 20 years of investigative journalist experience. Now, after that investigation was shut down at NBC, it was published in the New Yorker magazine and it won the Pulitzer Prize. As a contributor to Vanity Fair, Rich then interviewed over 30 Weinstein accusers and published an oral history of a predator in Vanity Fair. He also has 5 Emmy Awards for his work after spending nearly a decade at ABC News producing for Good Morning America. I really hope you enjoy In Bed with the Devil with Rich McHugh. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Morning, Tanya.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Sorry.
I'm happy to talk to you.
Thanks so much for joining us, me, here at Leaving Hillsong. Wow, so much to discuss. All right, well, let's start with, you know, what drew you to this particular topic? You had just finished up that the Weinstein expose stuff, hey, when you started taking an interest. I had a little look back in the inbox and it was October of 2018 that you first got in touch with me. So it's been a while.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that's what, almost 4 years ago. So how did I first get interested? I was in a place where the Weinstein story had come out. I had left NBC more or less in protest because of their killing it.
Yes.
The story, and they're ordering me to stop reporting. I took time off. I didn't work in the news business for a little bit. I took time off. And I was also going through a time where I lost one of my parents at the time. My father had passed away. And so I took time off. And in that time, you know, one of the sources for me on the Weinstein story, who was an editor in Hollywood circles, she kind of reached out as a friend and said, hey, check this out. Have you ever heard of this Hillsong? And I was like, I kind of had heard of it only because of the Bieber take of it in America. So I said, you think this would be a good story for me? And she's like, I don't know. Something about it tells me that you'd be interested in it. And she sent me a post. It was like Crazy Days and Nights post written somewhere in Hollywood. I think it was by NT lawyer, I believe. And it talked about this church and it is celebrity and that there's scandal, you know, goes all the way to the highest ranks and the pastors. And I was like, if this is true, this is right up my alley. And so that was the initial kind of like, okay, this is a good story because it's the intersection of celebrity, money, faith, international. It's got everything. That was it.
Oh yeah, there's something for everyone in this story. And then, I mean, what happened when you took a closer look? Because we talked about it a bit earlier. I remember you being a little bit cautious at first, like not just wanting to dive into, you know, attacking any kind of church or, you know, unnecessarily being negative about faith or, you know, people's expressions of faith. So, you know, what did you find when you did start looking?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I was raised a Catholic and still I'm Catholic, but I know that there are tremendous abuses in the Catholic Church. So you need to be, it's just not overreaching when you go forward with a story on a church. You just got to be right and know that you're right. Number one, I just come off the Weinstein story, you know, where Weinstein had hired Black Cube and these former Mossad people to kind of track the journalists that were after him. So I was, you know, coming off a period where I was not gun shy, but just like a little bit weary of powerful institutions. And so I think you were one of my first calls. Like I approached this almost like a private investigator would, like casing a joint. I just kind of poked around. I didn't make any calls. And then I saw that you had done an interview, you'd written a book, and I was like, aha, like you would be my first call. And so I think when I spoke to you, you were one of the things that you said to me was like, this isn't, you know, they are powerful, they're litigious. This is, you know, a bit like Scientology light, you know, Scientology in a different way. And so I had known how litigious Scientology is. And I was like, okay, I just need to tread cautiously and just speak to as many people kind of like below the radar and get a sense of this story as possible before I'm even on the radar.
Yeah,
because I really don't know anything about this organization, but if they are as powerful as it seems, I need to be careful.
Okay, what do you think just on that? Like, in hindsight, with the comparison to Scientology, I wonder who's kind of bigger at this point. It's yeah.
I mean, that was the way when I was thinking about it, like whether it's true or not, but this was Scientology for millennials. That's the way it was, you know, I was able to kind of digest it here in the States for people. And they're like, ah, I get it. Because there's all these like hipsters flocking to these churches. There's celebrities. There's the Tom Cruise figure in Justin Bieber. It had all the connections. And so once you frame it that way, yeah, for our legal lawyers out there, whether it's right or wrong, like that's how I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, And then how, like, what conclusions did you come to? You know, what would be your position now? What are your thoughts now on what Hillsong is?
I can only state my belief, you know, and it is my belief that those initial takes were accurate, that this is an organization that, you know, may have been created with the best of intentions back in the day, back in the early church.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, it has changed its mission and become an organization designed to protect the organization at all costs. Mm. And, you know, as Jeff Bullock has said recently in an interview, he said, you know, I don't see a lot of Jesus in it. And I would say that that's true. Like the people that I've spoken to, including you, but many others who were in the church and some in the early church, you know, they say that there is just, it's a power hungry institution that, you know, it is not a place you leave. They don't want you to leave and they make it very hard for you. There's tremendous, like some of the people that I, you know, I think when I came to Australia and met with you back in, I think it was 2019, mm-hmm, I was still trying to figure out how to, you know, get in and if there was really this story here. And I met with some former college students and one of them was so terrified and I think had like suicidal ideations and had gone through a lot with his experience. And he was still in the church and still terrified and still believing that they had the best of intentions, you know, for the church and for him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like if this is one person that I'm meeting on my first kind of like dipping my toe into the water, like yeah, there must be a lot of others.
Yeah. It ends up not being so random, hey, and so coincidental. The more people you talk to, what else were people telling you?
They were terrified. They thought they were the only ones. They had signed non-disclosure agreements, so they couldn't talk to me. I was like, wait a minute, you're a part of a church and you've signed a non-disclosure. Why did you sign a non-disclosure agreement? Like, what does that have to do with church? And they're like, well, it's part of the intake process in, you know, Hillsong College. And I was like, all right, well, that's bizarre. But I just come from the wine scene world where like everybody had been NDA'd. And so it was something I was versed in. And so hearing these students and these, you know, people inside the church spout this back to me, I was like, wait a minute, you don't even realize like you're being suppressed to protect something, not your rights, but their rights. And so you have to examine that. Why is that? I don't know. It was just an early realization that there is a lot more under the hood here, as they say. And it was the kind of invitation that like, you need to go forward. But I should also say that it was not easy. I mean, you'll relate to this because it's like what I found is when you report a story and there's abuse or abuses, and let's say they're being abused by some corporation or an insurance company, and they've clearly recognized what happened and are ready to come forward, and there's conviction. It's easy. Like, it's not easy, but it's not difficult once they make up their mind. With Hillsong, I found that there were all these people that that were wanting to come forward and wanting to speak. But then there was this added layer of the rest of their family is still in the church. And so, again, this theme of Scientology, like if they came forward, they would be disowned by their family. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, you can't you just come forward and talk? And they'll be like, no, because my family will, they won't talk to me. I'll lose a lot of friends. And so that was like the real, the silent, you know, NDA, if you will.
Wow.
So it's been hard.
You've seen enough now to, I mean, I guess feel pretty confident in moving forward. You touched on their similarities. Do you want to talk a bit more about what you know, now that it is coming up for 4 years of looking at this stuff, what are the similarities between a very powerful system like a Hollywood system that Harvey Weinstein existed in and this hugely powerful international church system of Hillsong?
Mm-hmm. You know, I never would have thought there would be similarities on the front side of this for me, but looking back and talking this through with you, there's similarities at every turn. First of all, I should say one of the similarities is it takes an early person to speak out on the abuse or the system or whatever it is. With Weinstein, it was Rose McGowan, and she came forward, and you know, she will forever be the person in my mind credited with bringing the system down. We were just there to help tell it. With Hillsong, I think that's in part you. You know, you were an early voice coming out and saying, this is, I'm leaving. This is not right. You know, you wrote a book about it. And I think the other similarities is there's not, you know, there's a disbelief at first. There's attack the person who's come forward. But the bigger similarity is it's all a system, right? It's not just one bad apple that is, sure, there's probably a bad apple at the core of each organization, let's say. And when I speak about Weinstein, it is an organization. It was one person, yes, but there is an organization of enablers. And I see the same thing here. Yeah. There is a decision somewhere along the way, early on in the process, to kind of get in bed with the devil. And then everybody turns a blind eye and continues to turn a blind eye. Then they protect those decisions. And, you know, it compounds year after year after year, such that, you know, the system then protects the system. You know, it's designed to protect the wrongdoing or the abuse. And it's really powerful because it's essentially telling everybody below it or affected by it, like, look, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Like, it's not 4. Like, you're seeing it the wrong way. And so I'm sure for people like you, it was like, you're the problem. It's not us. You're the problem, Tanya. Right? I mean, was that I have to believe that was your experience.
Well, yeah. I mean, I look around and go, but God, can't anyone else see what's going on? But I mean, these systems do benefit certain people within them, I guess. It's this old question of like, when do you get called into the back room and told what the secret is, or how does that all work? And it's interesting because we're starting to see the enablers and the entourages and those kinds of people getting held more accountable. I know that R. Kelly's entourage and arrangers of girls are, you know, getting looked at, and yeah, hopefully more of how those systems work will be pulled apart. Yeah, tell me more about, like, yeah, what else you see, similarities.
You know, somebody along the way, some smart person who's been looking at Hillsong told me, like, for the majority of the people that go to church there and are part of this, like, they're not affected. You know, they get something out of it. It's good. And they walk away at the end of the day having a church experience, I guess. And, you know, they move on. But the closer you get, and the more you kind of get to the stage, or you get to the inner circle, that's when, like, the...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hooks get into you, and that's when it becomes a problem. And I think that's the same thing with the Weinstein Enterprise. It's once you're given access to the I don't want to say the crimes, but once you're given access to the dirty laundry, uh-huh, and you're exposed to it, then it's like, okay, now you've seen it, now it's your duty to uphold it. And that's on the flip side. Okay. That system is crushing for people, you know, especially in a church. But in the case with, you know, I'm toggling back and forth here, but in the case of Weinstein, it was these actresses and these people who were, you know, believing and trusting in a, you know, this church. It's people who are going there for church, and they're giving all sorts of their time and money in many cases. And, you know, I've spoken to too many people who have spent years of their life and many of their dollars only to kind of be spit out the back of this machine with nothing and told to believe that, or meant to believe that, they are the problem. And so I think once the majority of the people that have kind of feel that way understand that they're not alone, this will begin to change.
Wow. Just wondering, like, again, 3-4 years on from that whole Me Too movement, how much have things changed, or do things go back to being the way they were once the publicity dies down? And I wonder what will happen again in this case. What do you think? Like, do people just, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same kind of thing? Or what can we hope for apart from, I guess, awareness? I don't know.
My hope is that things have changed since Me Too. You know, I'm not sure the quote Me Too movement is recognizable in what it once was, but I think it brought about an awareness, and at least in the United States, where I can see it, an understanding of what is completely unacceptable.
Yes.
In workplace and in situations that was overlooked before 2017.
Yeah.
I believe that has fundamentally changed. You know, have we swung too far? Maybe. I don't know. I think we're still in the process of it. With regard to the stories about Hillsong, I mean, I think there's more to come. I recently interviewed Jeff Bullock, who was basically one of the founding fathers of the church, and he said, you know, the church has to make a decision right now. It's like, do they want to just come clean and own up to everything, or are they going to proceed down the path of, you know, non-disclosures and, you know, maintaining the kind of entity? And if they do the latter, you know, I don't know if he said it's going to be the end of it, but it's not good. If they come clean, you know, then that would be a very good thing, and just kind of own up. But we'll see. I think this story's happening in real time. And so, there's a lot more, I think, ahead. It started like I think, and I'd be curious if you agree with me, but people like yourself, like writing a book, coming out, speaking, was the beginning of it. And that was years ago. But I think the Carl Lentz kind of like implosion,
yes,
really kind of got the ball rolling. And I don't think they knew exactly how they were handling that situation, that it was like, I likened it to I think I pitched it to one of the articles to Vanity Fair initially. And I was like, this is like a cruise ship going at, like, you know, however many knots fast. And all of a sudden it hits like an iceberg, and yeah, there's a massive hole in the ship, but it's still cruising along, and nobody really knows, you know, on top decks what's going on.
Yeah. And they're rearranging the deck chairs still.
Yep.
It's incredible.
What do you see? I mean, you've been a watcher of this for now since you've left, and I, you know, there's not many people that know the kind of the machinations of it as well as you do.
I mean, I've seen what everyone else is seeing, just so much fallout, so much damage, I guess way more than I ever anticipated, but I was just like anybody else and thought I was the only person, it was my fault and I'm exaggerating and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is severe. The trauma that people experience is just way deeper, has a way greater impact and lasts for so much longer than I could, you know, have predicted from where I started. And there's just, I don't know, could tens of thousands of people affected around the world? I don't know, because these people have a very vast reach. So there is more to come. These are just the problems they've had are just little leaks from a very sick system, I think. And when the band-aids get ripped off or whatever analogies you want to use, don't know how bad it could get.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's like you watch they're trying their social media. They're trying to keep good face and chin up and say the best is yet to come. And it's kind of like, well, I don't know. Is it? It's like just putting window dressing on things a bit. It's such a powerful organization. You might call it company. That, you know, if you think of, like, one of the things that I always used to say with about Weinstein was like, if this guy put as much energy into like doing good and making actual films and stuff that he did into suppressing and silencing, like, he would be like even bigger, because it was an inordinate amount of energy the guy put into like dealing with his crises that he created. And so I kind of see that same thing here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so many opportunities we think that they could have fixed things along the way, made things so much better. And, you know, then there wouldn't be all these criticisms now. But, yeah, can you imagine? Fascinating personalities there. Hey, like real digging in kind of narcissism there, just doubling on down.
Yeah, I mean, like their music is really good. And their reach is massive. And so you think, like, why not just open the books? Why not just be, you know, open yourself up to accountability and be honest, be forthright. And I think they're actually missing an opportunity to grow even more exponentially by doing so. Instead, they've made a decision and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. But my guess is it's going to be a drip of people out of the church, if not more. I mean, I don't know. Are people leaving? All the celebrities seem to have fled.
Yeah, the numbers are down, and the pandemic didn't help with any of that. But yeah, and then the scandals and all of that. So, you know, attendance is down, giving is down, which is a problem. But yeah,
but like, do you need all this money? Like, that's, I remember going to some of these services in Sydney and being like, I think they asked for money like four different times throughout I was about to say show, but four different times. And I was kind of like, okay, I get the money thing and the, you know, churches are powerful, but like, is it to expand God's kingdom or is it to, what is it? What is it all for?
Yeah, there's a lot of expenditure.
It's made me really, really jaded about organized religion. I now travel, I'm working on stories here and there, and I'll travel to some part of some town. I see like some church, like new Christ or new church.
Yeah.
And it's like the markings of like all of them. And you're like, God, man, this is, I hope it's a good organization, but they all kind of just now rub me the wrong way.
Yeah. And that's easy to happen. And they do all bear a lot of similarities. Hey, I mean, doesn't take long to kind of figure out what each one's about, really.
No.
I mean, once you've, you know, done it as thoroughly as you have now.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see where you think church, what happens to the church now? Does it, in the next several years, does it survive this? Does it?
Well, look, all of these pastors that have gone their separate ways have all left with, you know, loving platitudes on the way out. There'll be new partnerships. There'll be, you know, these guys aren't going to like retire and just play golf. They need that attention. They need that narcissistic supply. They, you know, these guys are going to keep going. Then they love the money and the attention and the power. And I don't know if this particular brand will keep going. I guess so. There's still a lot of brand loyalty, but yeah, there's quite a few unemployed pastors who are, you know, itching to get back into the pulpit and the front of the camera.
Yeah, no, it's a powerful vehicle for sure. I'd be curious to see what happens with Brian Houston's trial, whether he gets convicted or not. I think that could have some sort of impact. I don't know. It's unclear to me.
What are the feelings, do you think, in the States about the charges and, you know, he's going to trial? Is there any kind of feeling you get about that?
You know, I don't speak with many people who are currently in the church, so I can only speak about it as a reporter, and I generally think people don't understand it because the charges are, we don't have the same criminal charges here for protecting, you know, concealing information like that. So I think they process it like, ooh, the founder of the church is, you know, possibly going to jail if he gets convicted, but it kind of ends there. Their whole fascination here is like how the church imploded with, you know, the celebrities and the fallout and the New York pastor. And so it hasn't really sunk in, I think.
Yeah, all happened kind of quick, really.
Just yeah.
One thing after another, yeah. Cool. All right, well, I mean, can we do this again? Can we catch up again in time to come? And
absolutely.
What? I mean, you interviewed Jeff Bullock just recently. Sorry, he spoke on camera for the first time with you to detail his experiences about leaving Hillsong. Are there any more people you've got in your sights?
Yes. But nothing is imminent, and so I'm kind of taking a little bit of a breather. Like, I'm not also trying to pile on this church. It's like, if it's organically right and it's someone wants to come forward, I want to give them that opportunity. With Jeff, it just so happened that after talking to him for 3 years, he finally was ready. He's like, I've seen enough. The time is, I finally feel like there's a protected enough space where I can come forward. And so,
that's right.
You know, I'd be curious how his interview is playing in Australia. And for people who are part of the early church, I've heard from a number of them privately saying, wow, like,
yeah, that
how did that happen? But that was great. And so, you know, I hope it brings more people like Jeff to the fore. People like yourself, people who were there in the early days, people who know the inner workings and have been sitting on something. Cause like, I know for Jeff, it was like a cancer, like just wanting to speak and having been in that position myself, like where you're kind of walking around with this like secret, it's not a good thing. And so to be able to kind of like speak out about it, I know it was cathartic for him, and I don't know. That's my hope for others who listen to it, and
I know it helped a lot of
people that you interact with, that they tell, they have them tell you their story. I mean, you could be the central marketplace for this.
Well, I will send them to you. You happy if people want to reach out to come talk to you? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but you know, I'm not the reporter who's like, you got to speak to me. I mean, I think they should just as well trust you and come forward with you.
You're the Weinstein guy. You're the Weinstein guy.
Yeah, but, you know.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you so, so much.
Anya, I enjoyed it. It's nice talking to you, and I'm happy to anytime.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right.
Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm just going to leave that there and leave you all covetous as all get out. Before we go, I want you to hear it from Ronan Farrow himself, from his award-winning book, Catch and Kill. Rich McHugh did the right thing, even when it was the worst thing for himself, every time. Without his fierce ethics and the sense of mission in his bones, not to mention the righteous indignation of his wife, Danny, we would have been lost. He's a hero, and he lives in New Jersey. Please share this episode as widely as you can so that people can get a little bit closer to understanding how these systems work and the similarities involved in power abuse and so much more. Thank you, listeners, leavers, believers, people who have had enough now and just want to get out. Stay in touch, send us some feedback, say hello, have a great week, and we'll talk soon. And keep leaving Hillsong. Bye. I was totally kidding about Jason Momoa. If Lisa Bonet is listening, I totally know the difference between Jason and Moses. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.